And we're back. So welcome again to the Noophiles podcast. And, you know, right now it is about mid-February. So we've got at least about a month plus of stuff that's happened for us to go over. New shows, new movies. So tell me, Ian, what have you been watching or into lately?
Well, as many of you know, this past week was, well, actually last week, was the season opener for The Flash, season 9, which is the final season.
Right, yeah, I watched the first episode this week.
Yeah, was interesting idea for you have Barry, you know, try to control the future, obviously, with this little book. Of course, Iris is, you know, arguing that, no, this is not the right thing to do. Eventually, he burns the book because he's trying to, you know, make sure that certain dates match up to what he saw. In his way, he's trying to control his own destiny, which you really can't do.
That's the inherent problem with a character like The Flash in the way the show has been presented. There's been so much crossover between the past, present, and future in that show. It's like he's already met his future kids. He's interacted with them. He's had battles with them. He's learned so much about his future. It's like, it's all over the place.
Yeah. It's confusing. It gets confusing. And I'm hoping, you know, as the season progresses, it's not going to be like that, but I'm not getting my hopes up.
Yeah. Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why I've always hated time travel as a mechanic or a rule in the world. Just like it muddies everything so much and it just makes things so complicated. And I find The Flash has been like just kind of like, pardon the terminology, just been kind of running in circles for the past few years. I remember, was it season 7? The one that was during the pandemic? Mm. Oh my God, that was such a horrible season. Like, I remember there was this one episode where it was like a Flash where Barry wasn't in the episode or barely in it. And so it was all like the supporting cast. And it was like, I think the lowest rated episode of the series. It's just like, I really don't care about any of these characters.
Yeah, you want to see Flash. You want to see him take down the Rogues Gallery and save the day. Yeah.
Cast members. Yeah, and the only character from the supporting cast I was really enjoying, and I'm really still mad what they did, was the guy who played Ralph.
Yeah.
So rather than like recast or anything, they just wrote the character off the show. And I'm like, you know, it was like the same thing with James Gunn, like, you know, tweets he made like years ago that were still up and like, oh, let's dig in and like cancel. I'm like, say what you want about culture and all that. Like, I did not personally agree with that. I think that was going a bit too far over something that happened years ago. We all said stupid shit in our youth and we all kind of grew out of it. Obviously, I don't know the full story, so I can't fully comment on everything. But I will say I really enjoyed the character in the show. I enjoyed how he's written. I enjoyed the actor, how he played him. And I felt like when Ralph left, a certain amount of fun kind of left with him.
Yeah. I always felt that the show should have returned back to the tone structure of the first two seasons.
Yeah, I remember that first season was freaking great. I loved it.
And I love season 2, especially with Zoom, you know, and just that whole process. And then seeing, obviously, those great episodes where you're dealing with the trickster, you know, Captain Cold, Heat Wave, you know. You like those episodes because they don't essentially have to deal with the main plot of the season, but it's always nice to remember that he has other villains.
Yeah, and it's also kind of a shame how they kind of wrote out the Rogues. Like, the Rogues have always been a pretty big part of the Flash mythos, but then they took all the superfluous extra characters and they put them on Legends of Tomorrow. And granted, I kind of really liked Legends of Tomorrow as it went on. The first few seasons were kind of meh, but, like, then it just embraced the silly. and it got really good. Like, I, one of my favorite running jokes was Mick was a romance novelist. And it's just like this, like this big hard guy. It just, it was funny. It was really fun. Yeah. And I'm really sad they didn't get an extra season because they finally introduced Booster Gold.
Yeah, that was just like, oh, come on. Can't we just see more of that? Come on.
Come on, just one more season. One more season.
Come on.
But speaking of DCCW shows, one show I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed, and I'm sad we're not going to get any more of, Stargirl.
Yeah. That killer was like, oh man. Here was a show that, you know, just sort of picked up the torch where Arrowhead, you know, left off with that, you know. It's hard to put into words what I'm trying to describe, but there was just the excitement, you know, with these different characters, you know. It was almost sort of based in reality, if you will. It was a very grounded show.
Yeah, it was because it was the old generation dealing with the new generation, so to speak. So you had all these new heroes who are picking up mantles and torches, and they're fighting off like this old generation of villains who are just trying to do sorts of all this outlandish bullshit.
Yeah, and it was a shame because it could have gone even further, I felt.
And I thought, like, the subject matter was really dark, man. The first season with Brainwave killing his own son, and, like, you find out he also, like, how deep he had fallen. And then the second season with Eclipso. Eclipso was, a legitimately scary villain.
See, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is a key point in saying this is when writers aren't holding back. You know, that going through the typical tropes. They're bold.
Exactly. And then season three, man, like, especially when you got to the end of it, that was really messed up when you find out, like, spoiler alert, where Starman's alive, but he got brain swapped. And that means, and then you see, like, the stinger at the end, like, his brain is, like, still reliving his final moments in torture. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, obviously that was meant to be a stinger for season four. But I really love how, like, okay, they probably realized they weren't going to get another season. But then they made that, like, epilogue at the end of the final episode.
Yeah, because it leaves fans, you know, with the idea of what, you know, with what might be, what might have been, you know, saying, we can continue the story, but in our heads.
Yeah, this is probably where everything was going to lead up to.
Yeah.
You know who did a really good job of that? And, you know, now that I think about it, it is a Jeff Johns thing. Jeff Johns. Yeah. You remember his run on Green Lantern?
I do.
I loved his run on Green Lantern. I have actually purposely not read anything Green Lantern related ever since he stopped because of his epilogue issue. Because he wrote an epilogue where it says where all the important characters were going to end up. And I think I've talked about this before, but yeah. I thoroughly enjoy that because it adds finality. It adds, like, okay, cool. We know where Hal Jordan's going to end up. We know where Sinestro's going to end up. We know all these things. We know all these things because they're in the Book of Oa. And, like, damn, I am satisfied. I have just had my five-course meal, and I am full, and I am happy.
Yeah, there's always the nice word, finale, final, because you could just end the story at a good note, and not really wanting the audience leaving the audience with more, but saying this is a satisfying conclusion. The characters are in their different paths, and this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's the journey. It really is the journey from where you start in the series to where you end up. That's it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And as any Mass Effect fan can tell you, a bad ending can ruin a series.
I know.
Or any Game of Thrones fan for that matter. But no, that is a good point. And I really like that show. I'm glad, since they knew they were not going to get another season, they added that in. Like, yeah. That way it's like, you know what? We're not going to get a season 4, and that's a shame. But we got this capstone at the end that really, like, gave you that sense of being full.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of TV shows that are, that kind of go against tropes because they're not made by a committee. I don't know if you watch this show or you're into this kind of stuff, but one thing I've been watching and I've been adoring is The Legend of Vox Machina.
I actually had not seen that. I should start watching it.
So do you know what it is?
I know what it is, yes.
All right. So those who don't know, Legend of Vox Machina is an animated adaptation of a long-running D&D campaign done by a group called Critical Role. So people can argue how much of it was scripted originally, but this is like over 172 hours of campaign. So people sitting around, rolling dice, improvising, coming up with story ideas. And all that gets condensed into 2 seasons of 12 episodes each of a TV show. And it's just so much fun. I was actually reading a really good comment. So there was an epic scene in one of the recent episodes from season 2. And somebody joked, like, wow, that was an animated Nat 20 scene, in the sense that in D&D, when you roll a 20 in combat, that's an auto hit and you double your damage. So it's like, oh, that was a Nat 20 on the final boss. And they acted out, like, in the campaign, like, so a really cool epic scene. And then that gets animated as the final scene. And the cool thing is, like, from what I've, because I never watched the campaign personally, I have trouble sitting through it. It's not the easiest because each episode's like roughly 4 hours long. And I'm just it's basically, somebody explained to me, it's like listening to a radio drama.
Yeah.
Like, once you're in and you're hooked, but it's not for everybody. So I've been having a lot of enjoyment watching the animated adaptation. It's a lot of fun for me. I really like it. Some of my friends who are into the radio drama, they prefer that. It's like, oh, you know, it's not the same feeling. It's like, okay, yeah, but in the cartoon, they actually change a few things up to make it better for a visual storytelling element. And obviously they have to change a few things for copyright reasons, because, like, they don't want to get sued by Wizards of the Coast, which is this whole other thing that happened recently. I don't know if you heard about it.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of everywhere. It was that bad. But yeah, no, it's a very enjoyable cartoon. And the thing I like about it is that this was made by the voice actors themselves. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know if you know about that. Like, they started off this whole thing as a fun thing between them. Then they started streaming it. Then they became a business. And all the voice actors in that group, they meet up on a regular basis. They play the campaign and they stream campaigns and they make money off of that. Now, all those, like, 6 to 8 voice actors all came back and they're voicing their characters again. So if you think about it, this show is being written by the same people who acted it out originally.
That's incredible. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So just as a storytelling device on its own, it's worth looking into, because, you know, this was not made by a bunch of people sitting in a room paid to write stuff. This was like, yeah, maybe this, the campaigns are scripted. I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to say they are. I'm not going to say they aren't.
Yeah.
They probably have some foreknowledge going on what's going to happen. But that still means this was written by between these people to have a good time. And then they take those stories and then they adapt them into cartoons. And I don't know if you heard how much money they made off of Kickstarter to get that done.
I forget the actual number, but I was told it was quite large.
It was an obscene amount of money in a very short amount of time.
That is impressive. That's very impressive.
Oh, yeah. They have a huge fan base. And, you know, then, like, I think Amazon pitched in the rest. And from what I can tell, the show's doing very well.
I have to watch this then. I need to watch this.
You should. And next time you do, we can do a whole episode on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I find like, actually, I'm very appreciative of Amazon Prime because they're making some really cool stuff. Between that and the announcement of season two of Invincible.
Yes.
And Invincible, man, that's a whole other example of like a comic book done right, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just from the first episode to that last episode, the last episode was just brutal. It literally took images from the comic and just animated. I was like, damn, that is some good adaptation right there.
Oh, God, yeah. But to talk about some new stuff, so I'm just like scrolling through kind of like some of the recent stuff that came out not too long ago.
Yeah.
In the last while, we had, this is silly, we had a new cartoon about Sonic the Hedgehog on Amazon, Netflix. Which is actually pretty good. I admit, I watched it. It was a lot of fun. We have currently the controversy with the new Velma cartoon.
Yeah. One of the lowest rated animated series, but apparently there is a fan base that's growing.
I haven't watched it, but from what I can tell, if it wasn't Scooby-Doo, it probably would have done better.
Yeah, this is the thing, folks. You don't want to mess with a insanely popular franchise as Scooby-Doo and just mess with it a little. I understand, you know, you want to, you know, make it edgy or take it a different direction. It was like with Scooby Apocalypse, the series that was done by DC Comics, where you took the Scooby-Doo gang and you just put them in the apocalypse of zombies.
Yeah, but that's a comic and that's an experiment, and you know it's going to be like a mini series, like of a few issues.
It actually ran for almost like 50 issues.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was good. I liked it.
Okay, I'm like legitimately impressed. I didn't realize it ran that long. But I'm guessing they kind of like played more on some Scooby tropes and all that. But
they did and they didn't, because they did change some of the characters in the middle of the series. And I'm not sure if I should spoil this in case you want to read it.
Go for it.
Fred dies.
Okay.
And he's bizarre.
I'm going to say this. I think you can get away with that more in comic books because, you know, the people who absorb comic books know this is like a fun what if scenario. Yeah. It's like, oh, cool. This is like a what if Scooby-Doo zombie apocalypse. Cool. I'll sit down and read this. And you and I both know if it ever gets adapted, it'll probably just be like a 1.5-hour movie.
Yes. And not given the full, you know, the full awesomeness adaptation that it deserves.
Yeah. But I feel like it can get away with that if it's still fun.
Yeah.
I find, like, from what I'm hearing about them, obviously I haven't watched it, so I can't give an in-depth opinion, but from what I've been hearing from reviews and such, is this is more of a parody on CW tropes, like CW dramas and mysteries and all that. And it feels like they had a story in mind, but Warner was like, no, you got to put this, we got to put something on this that people know. Just, I don't know, Scooby-Doo. Use Scooby-Doo as a reference.
Yeah, I've been hearing that too, and it makes sense if you think about it, if they're mocking the CW tropes, especially a lot with their programming, but I don't think, and I haven't seen it either, I'm just going off by what people have been saying to me about it. It hasn't worked.
Yeah, I think like this is the first time I've actually heard a group of people say no hate watching. Because that's what happens a lot. It's like, you know, people are like, oh, this is so bad, I got to check it out. But this is the first time I'm hearing, like, yeah, no, this is so bad, you shouldn't even check it out.
They've opened Pandora's box. And unfortunately, they can't put it back in. Because, as we know, it's out there.
Yep. And now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, something that came out that was way better than it had any right to be, Puss in Boots and the Last Wish.
Yes, and that was quite something because I did not expect a sequel to that. I hoped for one, but it took obviously it was years later, but so it was a genuine surprise.
Yeah. Okay, let's say it out front. That movie hit harder than it had any right to. Okay, like they like, hey, we want to make a Puss in Boots movie. Okay. And we want to put in some Spider-Verse. It's Puss in Boots, right? Yeah. It's from Shrek, right? Yeah. It'll make money, so like, I don't know. Here's a check. Do whatever the fuck you want. We're going to make money off this anyways. That's what I feel that probably happened. The studio's like, yeah, okay, this is related to Shrek. It's a kid's thing. It's a cat with a hat. I don't care. Just take the money and do what you want.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's the opposite side of the spectrum. And like the, yeah, it's Shrek. It'll make money. Just, I don't care what you do. Just do it. And like, they put in like some amazing fight scenes. You have like this amazing art style. And you have three different villains who are all amazing. Okay, the amount of memes I'm seeing about Jack Horner online are just great. It's like, Jack, you're not going to shoot that puppy, are you? Yeah, in the face. Why? It's like, you're pure evil. Oh, go. What took you so long to figure that out, idiot?
Oh, God.
Like, that is one of the most fun, pure evil villains I've seen in a long time.
Yes.
And then you have Death the Wolf. Oh, my God. That was like Nat 20 fight scene right there. Character, the voice. And he delivers a line that is so goddamn cheesy, but hits so hard that you can't help but feel a little bit intimidated. And it's the one that's like, I'm death. And I don't mean it metaphorically, poetically, or ironically, or any other fancy way. I'm death straight up. Like, on paper, that is incredibly cheesy and cringy. But then you hear the character say it.
It's all about the delivery. Yeah.
It's not just about the delivery, but it's also about the severity of the scene and how it's portrayed and how it's animated. This character's like, well, I don't mean it like this. I'm cutting through the shit. I am just straight up death. And like, I love all the different motivations in the movie. You have like the pure evil who just wants power. You have the sympathetic villains who want, you know, a family and such. And then you have Death, who's like, I just find 9 lives for a cat to be fucking absurd. Like, you don't treasure your life. I'm just going to come in and take it early.
Damn. Yeah, that movie was too good. Too good.
And it beat Avatar 2.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I did see Avatar 2. I did see it. You know what the biggest problem is as a writer? Here's the biggest problem, folks. Here's the biggest problem. You're editing movies. You're rewriting scenes. You try to make it shorter. This is what happened when I watched Avatar Way of the Water. In the second act, I was rewriting it in my head. Just stuff that was pretty much filler.
Dude, they called the MacGuffin unobtainium. Unobtainium is a writer's term for a MacGuffin in a story. Like, it's just like, yes, we call this mineral MacGuffin. Like, I just lost my shit when I heard that. And, you know, and one of my favorite memes is like, one of my favorite memes about that is like, it's the, you know, that like woman screaming at the cat meme?
Yes.
it's like you should watch Avatar 2, and it's the characters from Avatar, and the cat is basically dressed like Aang from The Last Airbender, and it's like, you should watch Avatar, and like the cat dressed up as Aang. I did. Like, oh man. And apparently the third one is going to be about the Fire Na'vi who are coming to start war. Did you not watch any of the actual Avatar The Last Airbender? Now you're just going to full-on copy them.
And also, are we going to go through all the elements? Is that what's going to happen?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
And to continue on the movie talk, right now we're just doing a broad stroke, so at any point we want, we can go over some of these things more in depth. I'm totally down going like in depth over Vox Machina.
Yeah.
But you know what's like, and this is a Marvel movie I'm going to bring up now. You know what I have not seen? Black Panther 2. I have like, did not see it in theaters. And I don't have a strong will to actually sit down and watch it right now.
I did see it in theaters. I will say the first 10 minutes was hard to watch. It was.
Yeah, a lot of remembrance and all that.
Yeah. So it's the running theme, obviously, through the movie. And, of course, the villain is very intimidating. Not quite so much as Killmonger, but still pretty damn close. And it shows some very hard truths about, you know, the Wakanda people and, you know, the Americans in the movie. Some very hard truths, and you're like, okay, we're going here. And again, took risks, was very bold. Not necessarily a direction I would have taken it in, but it was important to get the message out. I have to be honest, though. I love the movie. I did. But I think I would have a hard time watching this Black Panther and the first one for obvious reasons. I have not seen the first one since Boseman's death. I've not seen it.
Okay.
And the second one is hard because I know he's not there.
Yeah. I think like, yeah, when the character dies like off screen like that, it's just, the actor, sorry. It's a very heavy feeling and hard shoes to fill. But I also feel like the marketing team didn't do a very good job of advertising what the movie was. Like, I don't have much appeal. Like, I don't know anything about the villain going in. Like, I know it's Namor, but they've completely changed Namor. And instead of being Atlantic, he's more Mesopotamian?
Yeah. They obviously want to distance themselves from Aquaman.
Yeah, well, Namor and Aquaman were always incredibly similar to begin with.
Yeah.
Except, you know, Namor is a total fucking Chad. I remember there's like, I saw these production photos in comparison, and they kind of like digitally diminished Namor's rod, we'll say. Let's just say he looked way more impressive in pre-production. But isn't that also what happened to Burt Ward on the Adam West Batman show?
I don't know.
Yeah, apparently people were complaining because Burt Ward was fairly well endowed, and what they had him wearing really showed it off.
Oh God.
So they actually tried to give him pills that would shrink it. He took them once and he said never again.
Oh God.
Yeah. And the 60s was a wild time.
Very wild.
But it's like, so I'm gonna sit down and watch that eventually. I know Quantumania is supposed to come out soon. So like the third Ant-Man movie. So I'm actually looking forward to that. And we also had She-Hulk for a while there. She-Hulk was interesting, I'll say that.
Yeah, it did give us some interesting ideas. I obviously like the breaking of the fourth wall. That's always a nice thing. Yeah. I felt at times they took it a bit too far.
Agreed. I think, and you know, obviously I'll get some hate for this. I think some of the, you shouldn't prop up your character by diminishing other established characters.
Yeah.
Like, I found the whole conversation between She-Hulk and the Hulk and their differences to be like, oh, I'm going to put myself up here by putting you down here.
Yeah,
and
smart. That wasn't smart.
Yeah, I think that didn't resonate well. I loved it when it was a comedy. Like, yeah. I loved it when it was like case of the week and it's all really dumb shit. Like, the episode with Wong was great. I love that they had Mr. Immortal in there. Now that's a Marvel deep cut and it's fucking hilarious because he just kept killing himself to get out of his marriages. See, that's fun. And then you have the guy who's like Leapfrog, but he's just like a rich asshole and he's more of a super villain. And the whole Matt Murdock thing, that was fun. I find like the overarching plots was not needed. It could have just been a fun show of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It was a fun show, but I feel like if it spent a little bit more time in the cooker, it could have been a great show.
Yeah, I think if they do get season two, I'm not sure if they are. If they do, they really need to spend some time figuring out what the show's going to be, you know, going forward. Because I think it has the potential to maybe be like Perry Mason. You know, like it is the show of the week.
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm all for case of the week, random like stuff happening in the Marvel Universe. That's fucking great. But you know what I mean. Like there's something off with what they were doing.
Just the execution. You need the good execution, folks.
Yeah. Oh, and here's another little tidbit. So I don't know if you know about this. It seems there was some kind of a hack or leak from an animation studio and a bunch of pilots for various cartoons that shouldn't be out yet got released to the World Wide Web.
Has somebody been naughty?
Yeah. And one of those, which I will bring up too, I should bring up too. One is apparently the new Looney Tunes Looniversity cartoon. With Buster and Babs Bunny. The other one, which immediately caught my interest, the new season of Clone High.
What?
Yeah. You could act, it's just the pilot episode though. So if you watch it, it's still pretty rough. I sat back and I watched it and honestly, it was really fun to sit back and watch it. It was good. So if you ever watched Clone High, I actually recommend it. Like, I can't, I'm not going to say sites where you can find it right now, but if you type like, let's see here, Clone High 2023 pilot, you should be able to find a site that's streaming it somewhere.
Oh my God.
You're very curious now, aren't you?
I am very curious now. I have to check this out. I have to check out all the things that we talked about.
Yeah. It is a direct sequel from the original series. And it like, just to give you an idea where it is, like, yeah, all the clones, they got unfrozen, and it's currently current year.
Oh, my God.
So, it's fun. I liked it, personally, for the pilot, and I really hope it gets picked up and turned into a whole season, because I am here for it.
Mind blown. Gone. It's mush, folks.
Yeah.
My mind's blown.
And let's just say they deal with the whole Gandhi thing in a very funny way.
Oh, God.
Oh, and there was another DC superhero movie that came out recently.
Yes.
Legion of Superheroes.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I checked it out.
Part of DC's new... Yeah, it's a very good movie.
Yeah. I find it was very... Like, okay, I could predict a lot of the things that were happening. It was very paint by the numbers. Like, I saw that coming. But it was fun. It was a good, like, and a way to spend an hour and a half. It was fun.
Absolutely.
All right, so I think, you know, we can just keep going on about all the new stuff that came out. Like, you know, there's a new season of Star Wars, The Bad Batch, a bunch of other shows. I don't know if you've ever seen a show called Gary and His Demons, but they finally put out a season two, and that was fucking hilarious. I loved it. But I think we'll save those topics for another time. So I am entrusting you to watch through both seasons of Legend of Vox Machina. It is a fun as hell fantasy show, because next time we do this, we're doing an episode on that.
Absolutely, full episode. I will let you know when I've actually started watching it.
Good. All right then. So I think that's a good place to end it.
Okay.
All right. So for all of our 2 to 5 listeners, thank you for your patronage. Thank you for listening to us talk about random geek stuff, about random indie comic stuff. And we're going to keep doing this for as long as we have time and don't have kids.
or how long you want us to.
Yeah. And then we'll probably keep going, because I'm definitely the kind of guy who overstays his welcome. All right. So as always, make sure to check us out on Instagram and on Sierra Nova Comics. I'm Peter from Medallion Comics.
I am Ian from Triple Threat Comics.
And I hope you guys have a great time. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Bye, folks.
Bye-bye.